Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Now, Elizabeth Benedict's book, Rewriting Illness, A View of My Own, is a most unconventional memoir with wisdom, self-effacing wit, and the storytelling skills of a seasoned novelist. She brings to life her cancer diagnosis and committed hypochondria. Delighted to welcome her to the show, Elizabeth Benedict.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
You're very welcome. So let's go back then. You discovered a few lumps in your armpit. That's where they started.
Right. I discovered one and I went to the doctor immediately, really within 12 hours, and they did a sonogram and they saw there were two. One was under the other, which is why I couldn't feel it. And so that was the beginning of my odyssey in trying to find out what was wrong with me, which took 3 months.
Okay.
A lot of dithering by doctors.
Yeah, you find that, don't you? The interesting thing is you went for natural remedies, and some of them are amazing. You chanted with Tibetan mantras. What was that all about?
Well, I do want to say I was told that I had a swollen lymph node, and that was the conclusion for a long time. So I was not treating cancer with natural remedies. I was treating what was said to be a swollen lymph node with natural remedies, which I hoped would be a temporary situation. So I want to clarify that. But my sister, everybody was concerned about my anxiety while I was trying to get a diagnosis and trying to get doctors to tell me what was wrong with me. They kept saying, "You're very anxious and you have a swollen lymph node." So in the absence of real medical help, my sister was concerned about my anxiety, and she tried to teach me Tibetan chanting. And she was very nervous about the fact that I might have cancer, which we all were, and she was very diligent about teaching me how to chant. And I was at best ambivalent about chanting, but I tried. And initially, I wasn't very good at it. I call myself a drive-by chanter. But then I found later in my treatment for what turned out to be cancer, not a swollen lymph node, that I found myself chanting when I had very painful things happen to me, you know, with incisions and needles and things like that. So it turned out to be a very useful exercise that my sister kind of made me do.
First of all, that's shocking. So they told you at the doctors or the hospital that you got swollen lymph glands, and it actually turned out to be cancer.
Yeah, and they were lymph nodes, and they were, you know, they turned out to be malignant lymph nodes. But the initial, when they do a sonogram, the initial belief from what they looked like was that they were swollen lymph nodes. And the radiologist wanted me to come back in 2 or 3 weeks and get another test. And my doctor kept insisting they were swollen lymph nodes. And and I had some other medical issues, and everybody wanted to focus on those as the reason for my anxiety and my physical symptoms. And people were just avoiding these huge lymph nodes.
Oh, crikey.
And no one touched them. No one, you know, no doctors touched them and said, this is not a swollen lymph node. You know, this needs to be biopsied. It took many, many, many weeks of many doctor's appointments before a doctor said that. And I spoke to a doctor the other night in conversation about my book, and I said, can't you tell as a doctor when you touch something that feel, you know, what's a swollen lymph node and what's maybe a tumor, what the difference is? And she said, yes, you can tell that. You can't tell, you can't tell exactly what it is or what kind of tumor it is, or, you know, it could be, but a doctor who touches that area can tell that it's probably not a swollen lymph node, which is what everybody wanted it to be.
I would have thought so. I know family members that have been to see specialists and they've said, that lump doesn't look good or doesn't feel good. You know, they know what they're doing in general, don't they?
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah, not in your case, clearly. So when and how did you find out then? Did you just keep pestering them and pestering them?
Well, I eventually went to a doctor who said, let's biopsy this, and which should have happened, you know, 6 weeks before. And I was literally about to go on summer vacation, and I had been dealing with this intensively every minute of my life for 6 weeks. And I said, okay, I'm about to go on vacation. If you tell me to stay here and get this biopsy, I'll do it. But if you tell me I can do it when I come back, I'll do it then. And, you know, I was truly trying to be a good patient, you know, and if he had said, no, you have to stay and do it now, I would have. He said, no, you can go away, and I don't think you have cancer. So I went off. I made an appointment for the day I got back. I went off, and I wondered whether he was lying to me about whether I had cancer. And I, as soon as I came back, I got biopsies go in stages. They go in three stages. So the first biopsy is a very simple procedure where they stick a needle into your tumor or whatever it is, and they pull some cells out, and they can tell whether they're abnormal or not. That takes a half an hour. But that doesn't tell you anything except whether you have abnormal cells. The remaining biopsies go on over several weeks. So it's not something that you can... the doctor knew that even if I had abnormal cells, I wouldn't find out, you know, at that moment what was wrong with me. So it's a very drawn out procedure. As soon as I got back, I went to him. A pathologist said, I think you have lymphoma. There are three swollen lymph nodes now. There are abnormal cells. And I went across the street to my doctor, who said, okay, we'll do another biopsy and I'm going on vacation. And it was a month more because of his vacation of operating schedules. It was a month more before I found out that I did have lymphoma. And then when I was told to call the treatment director of this major New York hospital to make an appointment, I was told there was a 2 month wait for me to see him.
I think it's so wrong.
I've been a patient there for 2 months already.
Yeah, I think it's wrong because everybody knows with cancer, it is growing. The longer you leave it, the worse it gets. So I think that's wrong.
Oh, yes, it was very wrong. And I fortunately had the name of a doctor given to me by a friend. And when I heard I had a 2 month wait, I called this other doctor and he called me that night. And he gave me a cell phone number. And he said, I'll call you tomorrow. He said, read me everything on the pathology report. Okay, you're going to come in 2 weeks. These are the tests you need. Boom, 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 boom. And I'll call you tomorrow night.
Oh, thank
goodness. So I went from really, you know, zombie medicine, people just dismissing me, to the most conscientious doctor who also happened to be a leading figure in lymphoma. A leading doctor in this field. So I really got excellent care by the end. But it was a series of mishaps, and it was my own initiative. I had to make everything up on my own.
Yeah, yeah. What was your treatment, Elizabeth, when you found out it was cancer?
I had a very treatable kind of lymphoma, so that's very good. There are many types that are treatable. But I also had a gene, a mutated gene, that the doctor said would make it difficult for, make me resistant to the chemotherapy. So it was sort of good news, bad news. And because of that, he put me in the hospital. I was in a hospital for 6 days getting round the clock chemo. And then I did the rest of the chemo treatments in his office just for three hours or so. And then I did three or four of those. And then I did a month of radiation following that. So it was about a 6 month process, six months or so.
And how are you now?
I am fine.
Good.
This was 5 years ago. And for the first 2 years, you're monitored very closely because it's in the first 2 years when recurrences happen. And I was sort of holding my breath for 2 years to see whether this would come back. And so once you're 2 years out, the chances of it coming back decrease. And once you're 3 years out, they decrease even further. So the treatment that I got really worked. And since then, since 2017, there have been incredible new treatments for lymphoma. So if it did recur now, there would be new treatments that weren't available 5 years ago.
That's great news. Now, I read in the press release, I'm assuming this is probably when you thought it was swollen lymph glands, but I was reading that you tried natural remedies like drinking shots of wheatgrass and eating chocolate babka.
Well, the babka was because I was hungry because I was so anxious that I couldn't eat. but I convinced myself it was a medical situation. It was a medical need. No, as I say, when I was told it was a swollen lymph node, I looked up natural remedies for swollen lymph nodes. And so I was, you know, that's why I did all those things. But I did them. I mean, this took so long to resolve that I did these things for a long time. I mean, I didn't just do them for 2 days. I did them for a month. And I spent a huge amount of money, you know, buying shots of wheatgrass for $7 each. And thinking that these things would help my swollen lymph nodes. So, and one of the things I do in the book is I make fun of myself for doing these things. And also, I make fun of myself, I mock myself, if you will, for my fears and my hypochondria. So, you know, because, you know, you mentioned that I was a hypochondriac. I had a classmate in high school who died from lymphoma.
Oh.
And she was there one day, and two or three months later, she was dead. And it was a very small class, and you know there were literally 22 girls. And I was traumatized by this, and I sort of felt like bodies were very fragile, you know. And if you found a lump in your body, you were going to be dead in 2 months, because that's what happened when I was a teenager and saw this sort of drama unfold. So it kind of rewired my nervous system. And as an adult, I was hypervigilant about my health. So obviously when I felt this lump, I ran to the doctor. You know, I went as soon as I could. So I wasn't, so I think being a hypochondriac, you know, made me excessively anxious, but it also made me vigilant, and it made me a good patient, and it made me, pursue what was wrong with me, so that when I was finally diagnosed, I was at stage one. Okay, if I had just dithered like the doctors, and if I had said, "Oh, it's probably nothing. I think I'll forget about it," or "I'm too scared to go to the doctor," the lymphoma could have spread. It could have spread to my organs. I mean, I was reading about all these things. So the fact that I was a hypochondriac, which means that I was just excessively nervous about my health, it meant that I took care of myself.
Yeah, I don't think you're a hypochondriac at all. I think anybody would be worried and scared, and you did the right thing and proved them all that you were right in the first place.
Yeah, and it's not something you want to be right about.
No, of course.
But, you know, what I tell people now is that, I mean, when I went to the doctor and they said, okay, get a sonogram, I thought I would know what this was in a day or two or three, you know. But the wheels of medicine move very slowly, you know, unless you have, you know, I mean, something really, really dramatic. But if you have something that people don't think is so dramatic, they move very slowly and you have to keep pushing because they're moving so slowly. So you have to do whatever you can to move things forward.
Yeah, yeah. I was just reading out in the news today how the NHS are practically on their knees and cancer patients are having to wait longer than usual. It's a sad state of affairs.
Terrible. It's just terrible. But I do want to encourage people that cancer treatments are really different from what they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And there are new developments and new breakthroughs every year. And so even though, you know, cancer is this incredibly scary word, and for all the obvious reasons, there are really hundreds of treatments that are new and I guess I want to say don't be so scared or entertain the possibility that there's a treatment for you instead of, you know, feeling like this is hopeless.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage people to pursue that.
That's a good point. Is this your first memoir, Elizabeth? Because you're a novelist, aren't you?
Yes. Yes. I've written 5 novels and I've written a lot of memoiristic essays. I've written a lot of personal essays about myself and different subjects. And I've edited books of essays. But it is my first full-length memoir. And I was a little reluctant to say so much about my health and my body and my family. So it took some time for me to kind of get up the courage to write about my health for 200 pages.
Oh, well done. I'm glad you did. And we're selling your book right now on our website for our listeners. They simply need to go to tre.radio and click on the bookshop banner. It's called Rewriting Illness, View of My Own by Elizabeth Benedict, who we're chatting to now. And as you have other work, as you say, you've written novels and, of course, this memoir. Do you have your own website as well, Elizabeth?
I do. It's elizabethbenedict.com.
Simple as that. Well, it's been great to chat to you. I'm glad you are so much better. And thank you for being on the show with us today.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.